So are you ready
for your show?
Hola, baby. Soy little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hola familia, buenas noches. Un domingo más abrimos las puertas del Underground Garage para ti. Soy Carlos Medina y esta noche el guitarrista de Springsteen nos invita a viajar hasta San Francisco. Sí, amigos, a la ciudad de la contracultura. Esa será la época que recordaremos esta noche a lo largo del show. Pero antes de adentrarnos de lleno en la historia, le damos la bienvenida a nuestro maestro de ceremonias favorito. Por supuesto, lo hacemos con música y ya que nos situaremos a mediados finales de los 60, comenzaremos el show con una de las bandas más representativas de aquella época. Algunos dicen de ellos que fue uno de los mejores grupos de rock que surgió en la escena musical de San Francisco, pero que por diversas circunstancias no llegaron a despuntar tal y como su talento hubiese predicho. Ellos son Moby Grape, Omaha. Buenas noches, Little. Comienza el Underground Garage de Rock FM.
Hungry Eye on Jackson was where Mort Saul, Dick Gregory, Shelley Berman, Jonathan Winters, Bill Cosby, and Lenny Bruce would perfect their craft. The Jazz Workshop on Broadway would be Lenny's first bust, and the Fillmore Auditorium on Geary his last gig. The Beatles would start touring America at the Cow Palace August 19, 1964, and stop touring America at Candlestick Park August 29, 1966. The town's first and still most successful independent record company was Autumn on Martha Street, run by the two guys that booked the Beatles, Tom Donahue and Bobby Mitchell. Donahue would also popularize progressive radio and be directly responsible for the existence of this specific radio station and this specific radio show. Progressive everything would be supported by the coolest bookstore ever, City Lights, still found at Columbus and Broadway in North Beach. Chet Helms, along with the collective known as the Family Dog, would start booking weekly jam sessions and then concerts at the Avalon Ballroom on Sutter Street, and would introduce an old friend of his from Austin named Janis Joplin to his house band Big Brother and the Holding Company. Helms, the Family Dog, the Diggers, and the Oracle would be responsible for the first important rock festival called the Gathering of the Tribes, a Human Being, at Golden Gate Park, January 14, 1967. And that would bring all the record companies to town. The legendary Bill Graham would book the Fillmore Auditorium on Geary. Then the former Carousel turned into Fillmore West on Market and Van Ness. Then Winterland at Post and Steiner, bringing a new level of sophistication and consciousness expansion to rock concert promotion, putting blues and jazz guys like Muddy Waters, B.B. King, Roland Kirk, and Miles Davis on rock bills, introducing black pioneers to a whole new white audience. Marty Ballin and Matthew Katz opened The Matrix on Fillmore, and Marty started a band to play there called Jefferson Airplane. Ken Kesey's acid trips would begin in 1965, supplied by ex-Air Force Kentuckian Augustus Owsley Stanley III, and continue past October of 66, when LSD would be declared illegal, and the acid test house band called The Warlocks would be changing their name to The Grateful Dead. The Fab Mab on Broadway would bring punk to town, as would The Pit south of Market, The Club of the Deaf on Valencia, and The Temple Beautiful on Geary. Jan Winter and Ralph Gleason would start a little magazine called Rolling Stone, which would be one of the three or four publications that would help define the counterculture, the rock art form, and the love generation of the late 60s. A generation officially born at Monterey 1967 and murdered somewhere on the interstate 1969 at a place called Altamont. Welcome to San Francisco.
Hello, this is Jack Cassidy from the Jefferson Airplane, and you are with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, which is a very cool place to be.
Yeah. I think you are filth. I think you are scum. You are a degenerate!
You know we're in a hell of a fight. Can you whack up inside my head? Should have stayed out with the boys instead. Say, come on, baby, don't treat me this way. I know you really love me no matter what you say. Charlene, Charlene, Charlene. Get along. You won't give an inch, you'll take a mile. Come on, lighten up, baby, just a little while. Charlene, Charlene. You're never gonna get the best of me, Charlene. Uh-uh, baby, you know what I mean. I never knew a woman with a temper like yours. But you got something every man adores. Baby, you know you take the cake. Falling in love, no mistake. Now I know what I'm gonna do. Stay right here and find out with you, Charlene. 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 Come on, baby, don't call the scene.
Listen, I've got a man named Walker with me. Says we owe him $93,000. Are you going to say anything?
Well, what do you want me to say?
He says he's going to shoot me unless I give him $93,000.
Look, Brewster, you know me better than that.
Want to say a word?
How much is Brewster worth to you, Fairfax?
Threatening phone calls don't impress me.
In fact, I think he's getting ready to fire the gun. Yes or no?
Of course not.
city. You thought you'd get away with going out on me. Yeah. Other girls did it, you didn't think of nothing new. You went out on me, so other girls did it too.
Started the show with Moby Grape, which was the punchline of a very stupid joke. One of those band names, you know, come from a long night of drinking and smoking things from one's garden, from their first classic album. And Skip Spence, the soul of the band, writing that one, David Rubinson producing. Started the show with the quintessential San Francisco band, Jefferson Airplane, title track of their sixth album, Fallen Tears, 1969. Co-lead singer Marty Balin and Paul Kantner writing that one. Al Schmidt producing. All legendary musicians. Jorma Kaukonen, the guitar. Jack Cassidy, one of the premier bass players of all time. And Spencer Dryden on drums. Nicky Hopkins, playing piano on that. He would hang around Frisco and join Quicksilver Messenger Service for a while, which we'll get to later. The Gollywogs fight fire and were about to transform themselves into Creedence Clearwater Revival, but still gollywogging at that point. Charlene, brand new from Gary Talent. Yes, his first solo album is Break Time. Written by Gary and Dave DeRocher and produced by Gary, Tim Coates, and Eddie Angel. Get it from GaryTalent.com. Two R's, two L's. Sly and the Family Stone with Love City. San Francisco was Love City for a while there, wasn't it? And their third album, Life, 1968. Sly writing and producing. And San Francisco's Syndicate of Sound with Little Girl. Classic garage rock from 66. Don Baskin, Bob Gonzalez writing, Judd Cost and Gary Thompson producing. Don and Bob actually in the band. Joined by Larry Ray, John Sharkey, and John Duckworth. Carrying on that sort of conversational garage-style vocal, pretty much invented by Mark Lindsay from Paul Revere and the Raiders. We're celebrating San Francisco, the Love City.
Sigues en Rock FM y esto es el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Durante los primeros años 60, Estados Unidos vivió con intensidad lo que vino a llamarse la nueva ola de la invasión británica. Bandas como los Beatles arrasaban allí por donde pasaban, y la verdad es que nos encontramos ante una paradoja de lo más curiosa. Resulta que en esta época se valoraba mucho toda la música que venía de Gran Bretaña, mientras que los grupos estadounidenses quedaban algo apartados. Lo curioso es que los Beatles, los Stones u otros artistas británicos habían sido profundamente influenciados por artistas norteamericanos, especialmente por los grandes artistas negros del blues o por el folk de Bob Dylan. Según avanzaba esa década de los 60, el propio Dylan decidió adentrarse en una versión más eléctrica de su música. Esa decisión quedó patente en 1965, cuando Dylan tocó en el Festival Folk de Newport. Muchos artistas comenzaron a explorar sonidos cada vez más complejos, dando rienda suelta a la técnica musical y a su propia imaginación. Estaba aflorando el rock psicodélico. A esta corriente se sumaron desde los Beatles, Pink Floyd o Beach Boys, entre otros muchos grupos. De hecho, empezó a convertirse en una corriente que interesaba cada vez más a un público más amplio, lo cual dio pie para que surgieran grandes festivales como el de Monterrey en 1967, que terminó por lanzar la carrera de Jimi Hendrix en Estados Unidos. Pero no me enrollo más. Dale, Little.
Welcome back to the Underground Garage. Salute to San Francisco. West Coast rock and roll, which would almost immediately represent the counterculture, would also represent a counter-revolution to the British invasion. America would take back what we had invented in the first place and what the English had co-opted. And in the end, America and England would inspire each other, creating a nice balance that was mutually beneficial. But the West Coast would introduce some very foreign elements, something very new, and at first, very alien to us on the East Coast. First of all, West Coast rock music would introduce a sound that was profoundly white. This was new in the rock world. Now right away you gotta think, wait a minute, nobody's whiter than the English. But in a weird way, that was not true. The failure to sound black would create a very new and interesting hybrid, but it was still very much based on the obvious influence of the black American blues and rhythm and blues artists. Mick Jagger, Eric Burdon, Stevie Winwood, Mike Smith, you know, they had a very black sound for our young ears. The Beach Boys, on the other hand, need I say more? The Byrds, they were white. Up in Frisco, Marty Ballin, Jerry Garcia, John Cipollina, they were white guys. They sang white, and they played white. Every guitar player on the West Coast used the vibrato bar, you know, the whammy bar on the guitar. This was a very white thing to do. Another foreign element with the West Coast stuff in general was that it contained, virtually without exception, an intellectual component. It was intelligent. Okay, Blue Cheer was an exception to the rule, but mostly, there was an element of sophistication, of education present in every band. I don't know if it was because of the folk music origins of it all or what, but this was new, uncharted territory for us, and it took a minute to understand. What opened the doors of perception for us was not Jim Morrison, but Grace Slick. She did the impossible. She communicated three qualities simultaneously that had never been combined in the history of New Jersey. And anybody with any brains would have said it was impossible. She was white, intelligent, and sexy. This was a contradiction in terms for us. I'm sorry, but we didn't know that combination existed. When you're a kid growing up in New Jersey, you're not looking for a girlfriend that's smarter than you. It just didn't happen. And by the way, Grace Slick didn't move or dress in any provocative way. In fact, the West Coast fashion would introduce a much more casual and subtle approach that was as American as their music. It would soon turn into the dreaded regular guy look that continues to plague us today with, tragically, most of the new bands. But we didn't notice it back then because at first it was more interesting, number one, and number two, they had the light show. I mean, the first time I saw the Jefferson Airplane on TV, they had the cool psychedelic lights behind them right away. And that became part of the fashion. It was just as significant in its own way as long hair and Victorian velvets had been for the British invasion bands. But the West Coast bands were all cowboy and Indian based, organic Americana personified. which fit perfectly with their folk and country-based music that would eventually take over in the late 60s. The Fringe thing would rule, conquering even legendary British invader Roger Daltrey himself at Woodstock. And that look all started with these guys.
Belly's creeping, I gotta shake my head. I feel like I'm dying, and I wish I was dead. If I live till tomorrow, that'd be a long time. I'll leave and I'll fall, but I'll rise on the cold line. And it's real, Lord, it's real. One more time. Stay away from the cars, the tablets, the town. Stay away from the man with that coat in the ground. Stay away from the stores where the enemies are fine. But better pain than being called a bogey. Forget about me. Try it just once, and you'll try it again. You forget about life, you forget about time, and live all the day slave to Bogey. And it's real, Lord, it's real. One more time. And it's real, Lord, it's free. One more time. And some of the fall, we rise on the old time.
What we're thinking about is a peaceful planet. We're not thinking about anything else. We're not thinking about any kind of power. We're not thinking about any of those kind of struggles. We're not thinking about revolution or war or any of that. That's not what we want. Nobody wants to get hurt. Nobody wants to hurt anybody. We would all like to be able to live an uncluttered life, a simple life, a good life, you know, and like think about moving the whole human race ahead a step.
To raise a fuss, Lord, I got to raise a holler. A battle working on summer just to try to earn a dollar. But Lord, I tried to call my baby, I tried to get a date. Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, Lord, there ain't no cure for the summertime blue. Well, my mama, papa told my son, you got to make some money. Well, if you wanna use a car to go riding next Sunday. But Lord, I didn't go to work, I told the boss I was sick, he said. What am I gonna do, Lord, there ain't no cure for the summertime blue. I got to take the weeks, I got to help up on vacation. I got to take my problem to the United Nations. I done told my congressman and he said, quote, Nickers boy. Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, Lord, there ain't no cure for the summertime blue.
nation. I got to take my problem to the United Nations. I done told my congressman and he said, whoa, dig this boy. Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do. Lord, there ain't no cure for the summertime blues. Wow, there ain't no cure.
All right, can we stop playing games now? It isn't Manderly or Coleman or Dabney or even Lamar, is it? The initials on this handkerchief are AP. What does AP stand for?
Alma Chalmers.
Chalmers begins with a C. This is a P.
Palmers. Alma Palmers.
Listen, you give me the runaround one more time and I'm going to slap you around this office. I don't care what your name is anymore. Just make one up so I know what to call you.
Hi, this is Tommy Ramone of the Ramones, and you're listening to Little Steven in the Underground Garage.
We started with the house band at the Red Dog Saloon. The Charlatans, they way before the Sex Pistols. Codine Blues, written by Buffy St. Marie, who would marry the amazing Jack Nietzsche. May have already happened by 66. So check our gossip division for that one. Dan Healy producing Summertime Blues, the first notable cover of the Eddie Cochran classic, and considered the first heavy metal record by hard rock aficionados when their brain cells are functioning. Yes, and is there a better hard rock title than the album Vincibus Eruptum? Oh yeah, a lot of precedents being set here. See, the whole Latin thing, you know, would become very metal. Not really sure what the connection is between the two things, but it works. You know what I mean? It just kind of works. Fortune Teller was the Shelters. Brand new band out of L.A. That from their debut EP, co-produced by Tom Petty, and it's a very cool record. Doing All Right, Big Midnight. Very cool stuff, actually. Shea Roberts and Alicia Drones, both in the band, It is on the Coolest Songs in the World, Volume 7, wickedcoolrecords.com. And the Ramones, their tribute to San Francisco and all things peace and love and ecological. Every time I eat vegetables, it makes me think of you. We're talking about San Francisco, baby. I think we need a little Tony Bennett going to the break.
I left my heart in San Francisco. High on a hill.
Sigues en el Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM. Esta noche estamos rindiendo homenaje a una de las ciudades más mágicas del planeta, San Francisco, y lo hacemos por ser el gran referente histórico de la contracultura estadounidense. Fue allí donde tuvo lugar aquel verano del amor en 1967 y se calcula que unas 10.000 personas se reunieron en el barrio de Hyde Ashbury. Gran parte de la juventud que se reunía en este barrio compartía el disgusto por la Guerra Fría que mantenía Estados Unidos con la antigua Unión Soviética. La mayoría estaban cansados de los valores tradicionales del país que se sentían, de alguna forma, ya no compartidos. Fue en aquel año cuando se publicó una canción que resumía todo ese sentir de la época y que de inmediato se convirtió en todo un fenómeno. San Francisco, interpretada por Scott McKenzie y compuesta por John Phillips de The Mamas and the Papas. En 2007 se celebró el 40 aniversario de aquel verano del amor, cuya celebración terminó el 27 de septiembre con un público estimado de unas 150.000 personas que asistieron al gran concierto de despedida. El año que viene se cumplirán 50 y la ciudad ya está planeando celebrarlo nuevamente. Seguro que Little Steven tiene claro asistir o no. Dale, maestro.
History was made October 7th, 1955 at the Sixth Gallery, 3119 Fillmore. Five poets had gathered to read to around 100 people or so. The sixth guy, Jack Kerouac, was too shy to go up, so he collected money for the jug of wine to be passed around and shouted encouragement. By 11 o'clock, when Allen Ginsberg went up to the platform to read, he was drunk and the crowd was ready for something special. They got it when he read Howl for the first time. As he read, he grew more and more sober, delivering the poem with a strange, ecstatic intensity. It was a spiritual confession heard by an astounded audience that galvanized the literary and arts community for years. As the Trials of Lenny Bruce observes, and I'm paraphrasing, the poem was relentless, merciless, disorienting and reorienting, deconstructing and reconstructing. It was the manifesto that broke the barrier between culture and dissent. With rage and indignation, it was a poignant and personal poetic declaration of discontent, decay, and debasement, coupled with dreams of mystical survival born in love. Along with Kerouac's On the Road, it would represent the Beat Movement. Howl was published by our Freak of the Week, founder of the City Lights Bookstore and San Francisco's first poet laureate, Lawrence Ferlinghetti. Mr. Ferlinghetti was arrested on obscenity charges for publishing Howl. It was what the police described as suggestive, filthy, and vulgar, and they grabbed the sales clerk, Shigeyoshi Murao, by the way, also. In the landmark First Amendment case, Ferlinghetti fought for free speech and was fully exonerated. He would publish his own million-selling poem, A Coney Island of the Mind, in 1958. Born in 1919, did his service in World War II and was profoundly affected by witnessing Nagasaki after the bomb hit. He lived in Spain for a few years, came back to the States, and decided to go where the wine gets made. So he ended up in San Francisco. He continues to be outspoken, despising automobiles and skyscrapers and chain stores and censorship and fascism. Our highest accolade goes to one of our coolest freaks of the week ever, Lawrence Ferlinghetti.
Down on me! Down on me! Looks like everybody in this whole run wild! But down on me!
Hi, this is Peter Albin of Big Brother and the Holding Company, and you're rocking to the sounds of San Francisco with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, a very cool place to be.
By the lake with lily flowers, while away the evening hours, to and fro she's gently gliding on the glassy lake she's riding. Side. The sun sees her dried. The birds hover high. I'd stifle a cry.
Bit by bit.
Since then, he's given a statement to the Chronicle. And he claims you've been following him, and you beat him up. Well, what about it, have you?
You want my star?
I want an answer. Have you been following that man?
Yeah, I've been following him on my own time. And anybody can tell I didn't do that to him.
How?
Because he looks too damn good, that's how.
Let your spirit dance, brothers, everywhere. Let your head be free, turn the wisdom key. Find it naturally, see your lucky duty. This sound has been around and round and round. Get out the cold feet, baby. Something on your back, let down.
Let down, let down, let down.
Don't you know, honey, baby, your light might shine this whole town.
Tribute to the great Lawrence Ferlinghetti with the very cool Big Brother and the Holding Company, Down on Me from 67. They were unappreciated by many of us on the East Coast at the time as part of the overall prejudice against the West Coast. I enjoy all that stuff now. There are only sounds making the best of both in those London winters that never seem to end. Taking a bit of a trip in 67, Gomper from their Satanic Majesty's Request. Yeah, not exactly the San Francisco love and peace theme, but we play it in the role of juxtaposition.
Little White Lies from Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band. The Ties That Bind, the River Collection is the album. and it includes a whole new album of very cool outtakes. If you're new to Bruce Springsteen's music, this is an excellent place to start. Everybody's Everything sums up the San Francisco ethos at the time. The amazing Santana. We're celebrating all things San Francisco. And we'll be back with our coolest song of the world this week.
Esta noche el protagonista de la canción más chula de la semana en el Underground Garage, aquí en Rock FM, no podía ser otro. Él fue uno de los grandes artistas de aquel verano del amor del 67. San Francisco, una ciudad que le acogió con los brazos abiertos. Él es el chamán del rock and roll. Él es el señor Carlos Santana. Y el próximo 15 de abril se publicará su nuevo trabajo, Santana 4, un disco en el que reúne a la formación original de Santana, aquella que fascinó tanto en los años 70. Anywhere You Want to Go, Santana, como la canción más chula de la semana en el Underground Garage de Rock FM.
We have a very exciting, cool song in the world this week. Originally formed in San Francisco and recently reunited, please welcome back to the Underground Garage stage, Santana.
We can drive, we can walk, baby, I don't know. don't mind my preaching to you. I said, don't trust them, baby, now you know. You don't learn everything there is to know in school. Wouldn't believe me when I gave advice. I said that he was a tease. If you won't help, you better ask me nice. So be sincere, convince me with a pretty please. Laugh, laugh, I thought I'd die. It seems so funny to me. Laugh, laugh, you met a guy who taught you how it feels to be lonely. Oh, so lonely. Don't think I'm being funny when I say you got just what you deserve. I can't help feeling you found out today. You thought you were too good, you had a lot of nerve. Won't say I'm sorry for the things I've said. I'm glad he packed up to go. You kept on bragging he was yours instead. Found you don't know everything there is to know. Laugh, laugh, I thought I'd die. It seems so funny to me. Laugh, laugh, you met a guy who taught you how it feels to be lonely. So lonely. Before I go, I'd like to say one thing. Don't close your ears to me. Take my advice and you find out that being just another girl won't cause you misery. Don't say you can't get any boy to call. Don't be so smug or else you'll find you can't get any boy at all. You'll wind up that way sitting on the shelf. Laugh, laugh, I thought I'd die. It seems so funny to me. Laugh, laugh, you met a guy who taught you how it feels to be lonely.
Man, it's a psych out. See the pleasure lovers who live it like it is, where it's at. Make the scene with the rebels, the hippies who think that flower power rules over everything and everybody. Psych out. The hallucinatory world of the flower children as they parade up and down the streets of San Francisco's Haight-Ashbury district. Psych out was filmed entirely on location in hippie heaven. See the mind blowers in action. Watch the psychedelic dropouts as they psych out, psych out, psych out.
Researchers think that LSD helps to explore the mind.
And if they ever explore your mind, they'll find a big, fat, empty hole.
Doctor, you need a doctor. You're sick. My advice to you is to go back up to San Francisco and move in with those other animals on Haight Street to see what's going on.
I may just do that.
Bon voyage.
Started that set with our coolest song in the world this week, Anywhere You Want to Go. And yes, Santana has reformed. Most of them. Carlos, Craig Rowley, who wrote and sings that. Neil Schon, who was actually on Santana 3, but he's back and instrumental in encouraging the reunion. Michael Carabello is back. And Michael Shreve is back on drums, most known for tearing it up at Woodstock. And they're adding Carl Perazzo and Benny Rietveld. And they're going to tour. And how cool is this, you know? One of the great bands of all time. With every pair of tickets you purchase to the Luminosity tour, you get a free copy of the album. So that's cool. So welcome back to Santana with our coolest song in the world this week, Anywhere You Want to Go. The Bo Brummels' Laugh Laugh, arguably the first of the folk rock groups. I know for a fact this is Kim Fowley's position, and I don't disagree. The Byrds certainly deserve credit for popularizing the genre, and because they did it with a Bob Dylan song, would forever be the archetype of the genre. But these cats were doing it a year earlier with the very inventive, creative, visionary producer, Sly Stone. Yes, Sylvester Stewart. More of the new wave in the late 70s. The Beat, Walking Out on Love. Paul Collins writing and singing. Stephen Huff, Larry Wyman and Michael Ruiz. Bruce Botnick producing. Legendary San Francisco garage rock. The guys who helped invent it, really. The Flaming Groovies, Cyril Jordan and Chris Wilson writing, and Dave Edmonds and Greg Shaw sharing production credit. And when we come back, just to prove to you that we're not completely uneducated idiots here in the garage, we're going to school.
Estamos llegando al final del Underground Garage de esta semana, pero quería detenerme un momento en la música que nos tiene preparada Little Steven en este ratito de radio. Hay una canción que resulta ser de lo más apropiada para la temática de esta noche. Fue publicada en 1967 e inspirada por el movimiento contrario a la guerra de Vietnam. Ellos son Eric Burdon and the Animals y la canción San Franciscan Nights. Otra de las piezas que escucharemos será Renaissance Fair de los norteamericanos The Byrds, también publicada en 1967, pero esta unos meses antes de aquel verano del amor. Hay más artistas esperando, pero tampoco vamos a romper esa magia de un plumazo. Casi mejor que lo vaya desvelando Little Steven poco a poco. Por cierto, siéntate recto, que el guitarrista de Springsteen se dispone a darnos una clase de historia. Como lo oyes. Dale, maestro.
And now, to help us with the history of San Francisco, please welcome Professor B. Pussy Bonpensiero.
Thank you. And what can I do for you?
Well, Professor Pussy, could you give us your usual brief but insightful history of the town?
Yeah, sure. You see, it's a tale of two Franks. Mm-hmm. You start off with Sir Francis Drake discovering the whole place in 1579. This is before he made his fortune with the devil dogs and yodels and all that. Mm. He gets there and he finds 10,000 Indians who he gets along with quite well. After all, he's got things to trade, you know, like them funny bones and whatnot.
I see.
Well, these Indians were called the Alones, but they weren't Alone very long because here comes the other Frank.
The other Frank?
Yeah, I'm talking about Big Frank.
Surely not Costello.
No, bigger.
Sinatra?
Bigger.
Oh my, you don't mean...
Yeah, St. Francis himself. Anyway, the Franciscans grabbed the Presidio and set up Mission Dolores, and that's it, game over. The Indians became hippies, and the whole love generation happened.
City and people of San Francisco, who may not know it, but they are beautiful, and so is their city.
This is a very personal song, so if the viewer cannot understand it, particularly those of you who are European residents, save up all your bread and fly Translove Airways to San Francisco, USA. Then maybe you'll understand the song. It will be worth it. If not for the sake of this song, but for the sake of your own peace of mind.
Strobe lights beam, create streams. Walls move, minds do too. On a warm San Franciscan night, old child, young child, feel alright. On a warm San Franciscan night, angels sing, leather wings, jeans of blue, Harley Davidson's tree. On a warm San Franciscan night, old angel, young angel, feel alright. On a warm San Francisco night, I wasn't born there, perhaps I'll die there. There's no place left to go. San Francisco. Is filled with hate. Heavens above, he's on a street called love. When will they ever learn? Old cop, young cop, feel alright. On a warm San Francisco night, the children are cool, they don't raise fools. American dream includes Indians too.
Jumped in, he hunched over the wheel and blew the car clear across San Francisco without stopping once, 70 miles per hour. He was fulfilling his mission with a fixed smile, his destiny we'd expected of the rumors and songs of him, right through traffic. and nobody even noticed he was so good. Dean was in ecstasies, man. He says, dig this guy, man. Dig the way he sits right in the seat with the feel of the car under his both haunches. See? And a little bit forward, to the left, against the gut of the car, and he don't make any outward indication. And just balls that jack and can talk all night while doing it. Only thing is, he doesn't bother with life.
The great San Francisco acid wave. I recall one night in a place called the Matrix. There I was. Mother of God, there I am. Holy huff. Clearly I was a victim of the drug explosion. A natural street freak, just eating whatever came by.
Matter. Gotta get back or lose my mind. Everything's getting Hello, I'm Greg Errico. In the 70s, I was a member of Sly and the Family Stone. In the 21st century, I'm hanging with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, a very cool place to be.
Well,
We started with Eric Burdon and his new animals. No original animals in sight, actually. Yes, even the rough and tumble coal miner rockers were emigrating to Frisco at that point. Pretty much the whole new band wrote it. Eric Burdon with Vic Briggs, John Weeder, and Barry Jenkins. Tom Wilson producing. You like a Rolling Stone, Tom Wilson. The Byrds, a Renaissance Fair. Their fourth amazing album in a row, Younger Than Yesterday, 67. McGuinn and Crosby still getting along at this point. Gary Usher now producing, replacing Terry Melcher for a bit. Many cool things this song could have been about. The human being, but that was just a month earlier than the release of the record. And of course, Monterey wouldn't happen for another few months. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Crosby had been to one of those Renaissance Fair things. We did a little research on it until we became bored. It goes all the way back to like World War II, and they're still going on, right? It's medieval sort of things. I mean, no wonder Game of Thrones is a hit. This is like, yeah, it's as Americana as, you know, the rodeo, you know? Anyway, very cool song resulted. There you go. And speaking of Monterey Pop and human beings, are you going to be there at the Love Inn? Asked the Chocolate Watch Band, Dave Aguilar and the gang. Ed Cobb, legendary garage rock producer.
No Direction Home, Cheap Trick. They wrote and produced it. Very cool stuff there.
And we closed our San Francisco extravaganza with another track from Sly and the Family Stone. Just a phenomenal version of an Alfred Hitchcock song. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. Song first heard in The Man Who Knew Too Much, 1956. Sly doing his best Doris Day. Doris, extraordinarily important to the rock and roll world by being the mother of, yes, Terry Melcher, terrific producer of The Byrds and Paul Revere and Raiders. So yeah, you start with Skip Spence, go out with Sly Stone and Doris Day, and little Lawrence Ferlinghetti in the middle, and there you have it, San Francisco.
Now I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank our presenting sponsor, the Seminole Hard Rock Cafes, Hotels, and Casinos Worldwide. We want to thank Voice of America, Jimmy Bertel, which goes to all over the not-so-free world. And we want to thank American Forces Radio, where we are in 177 countries. Yeah, that's Curtis Eckstein and Thomas Arnholt. Thank you, Curtis and Tommy. Don't forget, if you're up there in, what town's that in?
Rochester!
Thank you, Jack. If you're up there in Rochester, go visit Andy Babuke, or you can reach him, of course, the modern way, Andy Babuke's fabgear.com. But go to the joint itself, which is very cool. Andy Babuke's Fab Gear.
Allow me. I'm a bit of a famous mimic in my own small way, you know. James Cagney. Hello there, this is the famous Ringo here, Gear Fab. What is it that I can do for you, as it were, Gear Fab?
Not a bit like Cagney.
Yeah, that Scotland Yard always gets it wrong. Not Gear Fab, it's Fab Gear. And if somebody gets you a radio station for your birthday, call up Andy Denmark and Lori Logan at unitedstations.com, and then you can broadcast this radio show. Go to undergroundgarage.com for various contests and
And you can check out the archives of some 600 shows or so. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/undergroundgarage. Follow us on Twitter at littlesteven_UG. I know I've been not tweeting lately, but I got to get back to it. I promise I will. At Stevie Van Zandt. I want to thank our inevitable producer, Dennis Mortensen, our coordinating producer, Jeremy Tufano, and I want to thank Alan Freed, without whom we would not be here. Thank you all out there. We'll see you all next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Come back to Jersey, you moron!
100%.
Bueno, familia, pues hasta aquí el Underground Garage de esta noche, en el que hemos recordado aquel célebre verano del amor de 1967 y que el año que viene cumplirá 50 años. Es como para pensarse ir a visitar San Francisco en 2017. Bueno, ya iremos viendo. Yo soy Carlos Medina, espero que hayas disfrutado de un buen Underground Garage. Te emplazo a que nos encontremos dentro de 7 días aquí en Rock FM a partir de las 10 de la noche en el show de Little Steven. Hasta entonces, por supuesto, te deseo una fantástica semana. Un abrazo. Little, buenas noches, compañero.